Hello and welcome to the audio supplement for Planets in Transit 2022. Eric Francis here with kind of an overview and some thoughts about the work that I have just completed, though it remains a work in progress. There may be some additional planetary transits added at your suggestion that are germane to certain years. Now, speaking of, the concept for this is something I've been brewing since around 2008 or 2009. I think I had my first idea to do transits by age cohort. And for some reason, I couldn't figure out the format and couldn't figure out how to do it. And really, you know, at that point, I had about only half the experience that I have now and had written less, even though I had been doing this for a while in 2008, 2009. This just happened in the process, by the way, of finishing an Aquarian era. These are written readings that are by sign and rising sign. And while I was doing that, this idea came to me and I started focusing it originally as an article for the July 2021 horoscope, although it quickly grew way, way too large for a single article. And so I decided to make it into an ebook. And that's what we have. And the main concept I want to convey to you here is about thinking of your chart as waves rather than as particles. So the usual way that astrology is taught is you have your chart, you get it from someone or you print it up somewhere, you go on astro.com or we send it to you, and you look at your chart as a collection of fixed points in signs and houses and making aspects to one another. You don't really think of them as being objects in motion, but they are objects in motion. They never stopped. They didn't stop any more than if you take a picture of someone ice skating and you get a beautiful shot of them doing a camel or something. They didn't stop. They kept going. You just happened to get a moment in time when the shutter opened. And that's a lot of what it's like when you have your natal chart. Everything is still moving, but the flash goes off, and that's the moment that you're born, and then you carry that forward with you as your chart if you do astrology. And the usual way to learn how to do your chart is you consider these planets and other points in their little compartments. You know, you might have Chiron in the eighth house and Taurus or whatever it might be, and you look that up and you try to make some sense out of it. And I think there's some of that makes sense to do, although in my current class, the how to read your birth chart and then also the philosophy of astrology, one of the key ideas that I'm relating is that using your chart as a guide for what to look up in a book is not really reading your chart. Reading your chart is when you say, oh, that's in that sign and it's trying that in that sign. And that all together feels like that, and you're reading something that is distinctive in all the world and doesn't appear in any books, which most things do not appear in books. You only get a little sample of part of the thing, right? You might look up Venus square Mars, but it's not going to. Most books are not going to say, "Oh, Venus square Mars from Aries to Cancer." That's the thing, right? The planets, the aspects, and the placements can behave very differently in different signs and also in different houses. And there is no AI program at all whatsoever, nor would I want one, that can put all this together. That's the work of either a serious astrology student or an astrologer. And so this project, Planets in Motion, it gives a taste of what it is to do that and what you can learn from doing that, because I am able to be quite specific about aspect patterns in given years and the signs that those aspect patterns are in, and then to consider the transit that is happening to those patterns right now, including the planet making the transit and the sign that the planet is in. And so this opens up many, many more layers of depth and of understanding. And one of the reasons why it works so well and why it is so exciting is because those planets are not sitting still any at all, ever. They're constantly in motion. And what learning your chart from the standpoint of your transits does is it works with your chart as a wave form. It works with your chart as a living, moving pattern instead of a thing that just sits there and you wonder what that means and what that means and what that means, and then maybe you start to put it together. The thing that teaches you what the natal planets in your chart are about is what happens when the natal planets come under transit at a certain time in your life, and then you get a certain result. And if you do that enough, you start to put together a composite pattern of how your chart relates to your life. Now, that's a different thing than what your chart means, right? What your chart means presumes that it has some form of, fixed meaning, which it just does not. As these transits happen, the nature of the natal planets changes, the nature of your experience of the natal planets changes, and so what we're doing here is we are taking the leap and kind of going one dimension up and looking at the planets as a thing in motion. So just to give you an example, let's say you're wondering about what your Saturn is about. Well, Saturn is on an approximately 29-year cycle, so that gives us a certain convenient division points where you know you're going to have Saturn aspects to natal Saturn. You're going to have a Saturn square at about age 7. You're going to have a Saturn opposition at about age 14. You're going to have another Saturn square at about age 21, and you're going to have a Saturn return at age 29. That's easy to figure out. And if you look at those turning points, you will start to get a sense of what Saturn is about. Now, there are in your chart. Now, there are, of course, at different times, multiple transits going on, and so you have to do a little bit of sorting that out. And also, the planets are placed in aspect patterns quite often. And so when let's say you've got Saturn square Mars, so when you have any planet making an aspect to Saturn, it's going to also make an aspect to Mars. And so one of the things you need to learn how to do is how to consider the Mars aspect and how to consider the Saturn aspect. Now, you're already doing that if you're studying your natal chart and trying to figure out what, you know, Mars and Taurus means. When you've got Saturn in Aquarius and the two are at 90-degree angle and you're looking for clues and information about that, and you know, you of course look up Mars square Saturn, and then you look up Mars and Taurus, and then you look up Saturn and Aquarius. Okay, that all starts to give you a little bit of a clue. But however, if you start to follow transits to these points, which is not that hard, it is the easiest. Let's say I would call it the easiest advanced skill, meaning it's kind of like, you know, being in the fourth or fifth grade. It's not simple arithmetic, but reading the natal chart is not simple arithmetic either, except that it's easier for authors to say Mars and Aries means this, Mars and Taurus means that, Mars and Gemini means this other thing. And sometimes those commentaries are helpful, but they're only commentaries. And I try to make this point every time I talk to people about learning how to read your chart and doing all the study and investigation in your chart. I am very cautious with the work of other writers because I have read so many astrology books and so many astrology commentaries that are downright depressing and might have turned me against myself had I not had the strength and the you know, spiritual training and the journalistic training, knowing that you need to talk to multiple sources and get multiple viewpoints and actually figure out, look at this thing from a circumspect viewpoint. that means anything, any placement, any aspect, any, you know, any thing you can possibly look up, including transits, by the way, because a lot of the reports on transits are downright depressing. You're hardly ever going to read something positive about Saturn transits, or you'll get the usual pattern of, you know, sextile good, square bad, trine good, opposition bad, quincunx bad, square bad, trine good, sextile good, right? It's like, okay, this is not very creative. And the only way to jump out of this is just to learn a couple of skills and learn how to do it yourself. And the most basic skill is learning how to spot a transit. And once you learn how to do it to one with one planet, you know how to do it with any planet. So an easy planet to start with is Chiron. And I've included a link to a printable Chiron ephemeris, so you can do it online, or you can print the thing out and have a little 50-page stack of papers in folder. And you need to know what a square is and what a trine is. And I suggest starting with the quad aspect, starting with the conjunction square, opposition square, and conjunction. Keep it simple at first. And what I have seen is there are much more tangible results from square, opposition, and conjunction than there are from the trine and the sextile, which you might really wonder, could you really see the themes coming out? And then you can check those, of course, and see when you read the time of those transits, what they're offering you, what based on what you experienced, right? So the opinion comes not from what an author is so much saying about what a transit to your chart is about, but rather at least half, more than half, from what you directly experienced. Now, the only problem with direct experience is there's only one of you, and sometimes the way you experience a transit might not be the way someone else experiences a transit. And here's where it helps. If you are serious about your own chart, and that's really your only goal, to at least learn the charts of 5 or 10 people who are close to you, and some who are not close to you, people who you don't really know that well. There's ways to do this. You can, you can set up in a cafe and answer questions for free. You can, I think in person is good. You can also, you can set up on Facebook and say, I'll answer questions about your chart. Anything to give you experience looking at the charts of other people, even if that is only to help you diversify your experience in reading your own chart. So, reading the ephemeris is about as difficult as reading the train schedule. And you just need to know that when something has the same number value, and we're talking about fixed signs, then you've got a square. And when it's got the same number value, and it's in the same kind of sign, not element, but triplicity, that it's an opposition, and so on. So it takes a little bit of knowledge, but I think that one of the ways that you get that is by reading along and listening along. And so as you read through this ebook, you'll see that I demonstrate some of the maneuvers for understanding, and I break down the concepts of what it, how, for example, to read one planet making an aspect pattern to two or three other planets. You'll see the kinds of considerations that I bring up, and which are nothing more or less than the same things I'd be thinking about during a reading. But during the reading, I would have the client to ask. Now, the way that I got into this was, like pretty much everyone, I started studying astrology I started by breaking down a horoscope column. So that's an interesting first impression of how astrology works, because I was reading something that very few astrologers read at the beginning. It's usually considered a much more advanced skill, which is reading mutual aspects, meaning the connection between two planets moving in real time in the real sky. For example, the Saturn-Pluto conjunction of January 2020, for example, an eclipse or a new moon or full moon of some kind. Those are mutual aspects. And I started doing that with an ephemeris and the New York Post horoscope. So I kind of jumped into this specialized branch of astrology, but it happened to be one that encompasses all the other branches of astrology. So straight away, I started with planets in motion, not planets standing still in a natal chart. Before I ever strived, whatever you do, to understand my natal chart, I was trying to figure out how it was a horoscope writer, particularly Patrick Walker, could say things that were so interesting and so relevant to the time. And it turned out all he was really doing was he was looking up the day's planets in an ephemeris. He would draw them out on a blank wheel, which I didn't know till recently, a technique that I have used for many years. Just, you know, I go through a lot of blank wheels. It's basic notebook paper for an astrologer. So make a little stack of them and keep them, you know, keep them right by your desk. And anything you're trying to figure out, draw it out on a blank wheel. And then he would write a horoscope column interpreting this for the 12 signs. So I learned the solar houses, meaning you don't have any birth time. You're just writing for sign, whatever, Leo. And you want to write about some kind of a spiritual theme for Leo. And that turns out to be found in the ninth place. That's Aries. Okay, so I learned that all from the New York Post, pretty much. This took me like, a couple of years, year or so doing it. And during that year, I started reading other astrology books and started hacking my own chart. And finally did my first reading at some point. This was in the spring of 95 or so. And I played back a recording of it. And David Wilcock was in the room. We used to be very good friends. And we only got about 5 minutes in when I said, and that means you have that. And the person said, nope. And then I said, oh, that means you have that. And the person said, uh-uh. And then the person, and I said, oh. And I just was not getting it right. And maybe she was a tough customer. Maybe I was making accurate statements and she just did not want to agree. But in any event, I thought, I need a better way to do this. I need to hear from my client. And I already knew the power of Chiron transits, because at some point along the way, I was reading Chiron, Rainbow Bridge Between the Inner and Outer Planets, which was recommended to me by Laurie Burnett, Jeff Green's ex-wife, who said if you like Pluto, you would love Chiron. She turned out to be 101% correct. Thank you, Laurie. And so I had done, because Barbara Hand Clow teaches key life transits. She's like, learn your key life transits. So really, part of whom I get this from Patrick, and I get it a bunch from Barbara Hand Clow, who really believes in working with transits. Okay, so that's cool. So I knew from looking at my own transits, right? I was in the middle of my Saturn return when I became an astrologer. I bought my first ephemeris on the day of my 30th birthday. And then I got a printout of some of my transits, and I realized that my Chiron first square happened in June of 1986, and my life just completely blew up on every conceivable front. There was no part of my life that was not affected. I was graduating from university. I was a political campaign writer. I got myself into a kind of a scandal at SUNY Buffalo, which I've talked about in some Planet editions of Planet Waves FM way back in the past, and learned that I was not the kind of person who was suited to lie to the public, because this thing partly involved lying to the public about how we had run the campaign. And so that was a whole humongous mess. And then I also was in love with two women and figured out that I was polyamorous, and I got venereal warts, and all of this, like at age 22 in June of 1986, everything blew sky high at once. And it was all centered within a month or two around my Chiron square. I'm thinking, this is some powerful shit. And so from my second client, I began the session, instead of trying to read the chart and make pronouncements about the chart, to just check in with some dates in the client's life. So if the client was old enough to have their Saturn return, I would check in with that. And if they were old, whatever Chiron transits they were old enough to have, I would check in with those. And then this did a few different things. First of all, it established a rapport with my client. It put me in the position of listening. I learned a lot about my client. I demonstrated astrology to be the an art that listens, like good therapy listens. And then I got to see the chart in action. I got to see what happens when you take this thing that seems like it's not going anywhere. It's just sitting still and like a bunch of pool tables sitting on the table and nobody doing anything about them. Well, the transits are like the cue ball that... you know, it's not, the impact is not, it's not so aggressive. The planets don't really touch, so the cue ball is not that good of a metaphor, but a little bit, it starts to move the energy around. And so this evolved into a process where I would book all of my clients in. I did this for years. I would book all my clients in for 3 sessions. And the entire first session, which sometimes would go 90 minutes, I would spend the entire time listening to them tell the stories of their transits. And so I did this for years and have listened to probably 5 or 6 or 7 more, hundreds and hundreds of clients tell me the story of their transits, which means I've checked thousands of transits. Because in those days, I was doing, sometimes I would do the entire Chiron cycle. I would do every major transit up to whatever age the client was. Most of my clients were coming in at around age 40 at that time. I was around age 31, 32. And so one thing I got was this ever-growing compendium of information about how transits work and how they feel and what the likely responses are, and started to notice patterns to how people handle their transits. And I also found out that by the time they were done telling me the stories of their transits, I didn't really need to do too much chart reading. We knew what we were there to talk about. We had a concept of what we were there to talk about. So this completely turned the whole concept of an astrology reading on its ear, where the reading in effect became the client telling me about how their chart responds when the juice is turned up, meaning the juice of any planetary transit going through any pattern or any element of their chart. And so in a certain way, I learned astrology from my clients as they explained to me the results of these transit events. And what I started to notice was, as I did this, I got a better and better feeling for how natal placements work. Because once you've listened to God knows how many accounts of what transits are, you start to get a sense of how that what that planet is and what it's doing there. And the other thing is that, you know, what makes anyone think the planet of its own has that much influence anyway? Generally, as far as I can tell, planets have, natal planets come to life under transit. That's when they express their energy. There's a lot of possibilities for transits and, you know, many, many, many planets getting transited at any one time. But there's always going to be a couple of transits that really stand out and that really are, you know, that just are the salient ones. So you'll see as you read through this that, you know, for people born in 1999, there's a whole group of transits that are happening now. For people born between 90 and 93, they may win the prize for how many of their transits I've covered, because they're under so many different aspects. People born between 1990 and 1993 or so, maybe 94. And so as you read this, you'll see how the different transits of different planets happening simultaneously work together. But I think the real beauty of this method is that experience is the teacher, that we're not trying to force a theory of what something is about on people, but rather letting their experience do the walking and the talking, and ultimately be the thing that describes and expresses not only what their chart is about, but what their life is about, and what how it is that they go through the changes that they go through. So when you look at your own transits, or when you work with the transits of someone else, and you're sensitive, and you're objective, right? You give a little distance, and you leave space for different possibilities, in your chart or anyone else's chart. You'll start to get a sense of how you go through changes. And so one of the things I suggest you do, as a kind of an outgrowth of this transit project, is learn your transits. Learn how to read them, then make a journal of your past transits, which begins with your address. So that's the way that I do it with my clients. Now, I make up a list of maybe eight, I try to keep it under 10 transits that they've had, and I ask them to start with their address at the time of the transit. So I might say, age 30, Saturn return, that was in 1981. Where were you? Where did you live? What was your address? Everyone remembers their address. And what I find is the address is the closest thing to a neutral prompt that there is, because so much happens at an address that it's pretty much, okay, that's where I lived at that time in my life. And so I'm clear with people. I'm not looking for what happened, but rather what was happening, i.e., not that an airplane crashed into the front yard one day in 1989, but rather I was going to that school, and that was my friend, and that was my dog, and that's what I wanted to do, and oh, I read that book, and I went on my first exchange thing to the Netherlands and for 2 weeks. Oh, and a plane crashed into my yard. So this I describe as being circumspect, of not drilling in to the chart, but more just gently wiping away layers and focusing in on different parts and considering things in a more gentle way. And remember also that that there's unlikely to be definitive meaning in your chart. This simply means that. There's just no way to say that with astrology. And be honest, people do say it. They do try to make this claim. In all of my work as an astrologer, and remember, I came to astrology after a rather in-depth investigative reporting career, so I had my mental faculties change, and my spiritual path began at age 14 when I figured out that I was Quaker. And so by the time I started therapy in 1992 and Course in Miracles, and I had a lot of experience when I came to astrology in the mid-1990s. And then I've talked to numerous astrologers and read quite a few astrology books and interviewed many, many, many people and done this every single friggin' day since my birthday in 1994, I can tell you that there is no way to get a chart to say something definite, period. That's the most definite thing you can say. But you can see opportunities in charts, you can see ideas in charts, and you can see the charts describe locations. They describe events and situations and circumstances, and when you add the houses, which we can't do in this particular planets in motion reading, because it only is covering planetary placements, aspects, and transits. We don't know what houses, but the houses give a very important contextual clue as to what is going on in the chart, and they provide that extra layer. And it's very, very simple to consider the houses. You start with them first as places. That's actually what they're called more and more in my writing. For example, all throughout Aquarian era, I'm transitioning into using the word place. So I say place, meaning parentheses, solar house, whole sign house, regular conventional house, parentheses, place, the fifth place, sixth place, seventh place. They are geographic locations. One of the ways you know you understand a house is you know where you are when you're in that house. In the sixth house, you're in a healing room, among other places. In the eighth house, you're in a bank, funeral home. In the ninth house, you're in a church, or you're standing at the Great Pyramid of Giza or Chichen Itza. In the 10th house, you're leading and you're in your work and you're building your reputation. And in the 11th house, you're out with your friends. And in the 12th house, you're in the world of dreams. You took ayahuasca and everything's really weird and warpy and you're having this astral experience. They all have places. So it's better to not think of houses as these groups of concepts, which they are, but rather first put them on the ground. That's the whole point of astrology. If astrology is about the meaning of the planets as they manifest on Earth, the way they manifest on Earth happens in the houses. So the way to do that is cast your chart. You can ask us to do it. All you need is your birth time. Get it close as you can. Exact is better. And you'll have a whole other layer of a whole other dimension to stretch out into. Even though what I'm providing in Planets in Motion is likely to be relevant and informative, and I do suggest you read the whole thing and wonder, you know, some of these transits happen to all people, some of them happen to all people at different times, and some just only happen to that one group of people. And I explain that in each of the entries, but as you read through this, you're going to get a sense of the whole cycle. And I go from age one, a transit unique to people who are now 1 year old, out to age 84, transit common to all people when they're 84. So it's a very wide diversity of transits. A couple of other points. This is a work in progress. We're going to enter another set of corrections tonight. I feel strongly getting this up on Friday. I'm getting tired of the delay between purchase and delivery. So one of the ways we're going to handle that is I'm just going to keep updating and upgrading the PDF, and so check back, and if we make a major upgrade, we will tell you, you know, like a whole number upgrade or something. If you know of transits that I have not covered, please write to me and tell me, efc@planetwaves.net. Make sure I reply immediately or I missed it. Send it again if I don't reply within an hour or two. It might go out, but, you know, usually I don't carry a phone around, but I usually reply to emails certainly within a couple of hours. I don't generally save them for later. What else? Okay, so that's that. Recommend other transits. We're going to keep upgrading this. One of the upgrades is going to be I'm going to plug in sample charts into all of these. That may take a little while, but that will be coming. And then I'm looking for the next kind of real-time instructional method. Speaking of instructional, the philosophy of astrology, a completed class, absolutely a work of wonder. I'm very proud of that, and it's easygoing, free-form, not boring, seven exciting little mini lecture presentations about this long, and then how to read your own natal chart. I'm going to add this recording to that. That, too, will have five or six of these little mini lectures. And one other thing, if you'd like someone to calculate your transits for you, I can do that as a chart key reading. That's just type that into the search engine on Planet Waves and I can do that for you relatively inexpensively, and I will include reviewing the transits. Okay, so I hear the theme music playing there in the background. That's Jelko, a member of the Vision Quest Ambient Ensemble of Planet Waves, a very gifted musician who saves me the trouble of it's not trouble, it's fun, but when I'm too busy, Jelko just sends me 20 of these things, and this is one of the ones that came last week. And again, if you're trying to reach me, efc@planetwaves.net or 845-481-5616. Thanks for your business and your trust. Lots of love, and bye for now.